source told the FBI the info was totally unserious, and they did not inform the court of any of this, and they kept on spying on the Trump campaign. In addition, the press is part of this crooked operation, you know that. Election rules were changed, big tech censored the opposition, political violence was legitimized and encouraged by the left, and then Trump, President of the United States, was banned from the social media, as we call it, by sleazebags. I was banned by sleazebags.
Trump is right. We have never seen anything quite like this before. Where the deep state, the Democrats, the Republican rhinos, if you do not agree with the agenda, if you do not agree with the common normalities that we're taught, that we're told, doesn't matter what it is, it could be flat earth. But in this case here, it was something more nefarious. An election that was stolen. People who were outraged by the election being taken from the real winner. And it wasn't just the Republicans who voted for him, yo. We had both sides of the aisle just going all out for Trump. It was similar to the Obama run, actually, where we had both sides of the aisle voting for him, not because he was a great candidate, but because he was the first black president, or he was going to be the first black president. But Trump didn't necessarily win because of a sidebar issue like that. It wasn't a social issue that got Trump the respect from both sides. Trump got here because we understand what happened the last 8 years with Obama. We understood what happened with the Bushes and the Clintons, and we began to see how we were all slow walked down the pathway to a dictatorship, to communism, to being ruled by a small majority of people who controlled the majority of the nation. They're using the federal government to control the people. And if you really think about it, is similar to having a king or a queen, a monarch, when you have one voice that rules over all. And they've compromised enough of Congress, enough of the Senate, enough of everything. Justice Department, law enforcement, they've compromised enough of the top people in different departments, different areas, different industries, different, you know, whatever. They've compromised enough of those positions with blackmail, threats, to be able to control the people as if we are, what do you call them, God? The peasants. They are royalty. They are the kings, the queens. They are the princes and the princesses. They are the ones who control us now. It's like the government has turned into a modern day monarch. And the problem is, when the founding fathers created the country, it was never supposed to be power being from the top. The power came from the states. That's why we had 50 states ratify first. And then we became, you know, a country first. You know, after 50 states, 50 individual states decided to come together. And so the power has always came from the states, and the states get their powers from the people. So the people, that was the that was the traditional, the original rather, founding of the country, where we were supposed to be the people in control of the entire operation. The people vote. The people get out there and choose their congressmen, their leaders, their governors, their mayors. The people choose who they want to be on the Supreme Court or in the courts or the union, whatever. Okay, we're supposed to choose all of these people ourselves, and we do, until they start cheating and started to flip votes and stuff. But in the beginning, we were supposed to be able to choose these people ourselves. And then somehow over time, the federal government became more powerful in at least appearance than the states. But what we have been seeing this past election, post-election, after the still happened, is we begin to see states take their power back. They begin to realize, wait a minute here, we do have the power here. And it was supposed to be the states rule over the federal government and the people rule over the states, so that we have rulership essentially over the federal government. Are you aware that the federal income tax didn't come in until 1913-ish or somewhere in a time frame? A year after the Titanic sank, that ironically had three of the richest men in the world at this time, who today will be worth billions today, right? They were on the ship. Well, it wasn't really that ship, but that's a different topic altogether. It was the Olympic, but we won't go there right now. The entire story of the Titanic is completely farce. False, rather. It's a farce. It's comical to even call it that anymore. But no one knows it as the Olympic. Anyway, when they died on that ship, ironically, it was J.P. Morgan who built the ship, who funded the ship. He actually funded the building of the ship, got him on the ship, and he backed out of the voyage a day before. Well, something like it was like days before he backed out of going on that ship, along with his friend Hershey. Okay, Hershey's chocolate bar. And they backed out and they lived. And then the other three richest people in the world died on the ship, even though all the rich came off the ship first. Those three billionaires, or would be billionaires today, as far as their equivalent in, as far as the inflation and stuff, they died on the ship. And then in the very next year, we had the Federal Reserve Bank coming into play, thanks to J.P. Morgan. We had, you know, inflation come in. We got into the fiat debt system, and then all of a sudden we became we had a federal tax, income tax, whatever. So this all came as the country began to flip things around. So instead of the people ruling the states and the states ruling the federal government, it turned around and became the federal government rules over the states, even though legally they can't do that. Constitutionally, they can't do that. And now we're being dictated to by people who work for the federal government, as if they are our overlords, as if they are our kings, as if they are our dictators. Hitler didn't die. Hitler just evolved into a group. See, the idea of being a dictator is not confined to one person being in complete control. It is a spirit. It is an idea. And the idea, you can't kill the idea. So Hitler and dictatorships never died. They evolved. It became harder to spot it because now we're looking for one person to rule. But instead, they formed one group. The same thing. Blackmail and whatever they use to keep them in line. You don't see not one Democrat step out of line, do you? It's very rare. It's very rare. So we're seeing this happen now in our country. And Trump he was the first person to experience it on this level. To be censored on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and to have the entire country come after him. Big tech and everything. But a time is getting ready to come where things are going to change for the better for us. And the deep state will have to run and hide and lawyer up. Follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/StephanRudd. Right now, I'm still in Facebook jail. Let me see how many days I have left here. I should be out of Facebook jail in about a couple of days here. Doesn't really show me right now, but I should be out of Facebook jail in about, what does it say here? Doesn't show me right now. But anyway, I'm in Facebook jail for another 6 more days. Okay, so Monday-ish, I should be out of Facebook jail. And then also, you can follow me on Telegram. t.me/StephanRudd. This here is the screenshot of the web version, but once you subscribe here, you'll be on my actual Telegram account, okay, which is more of an app, okay. And also you can follow me on getter.com/user/StephanRudd. That is me. I don't have a red V because I'm not. No one knows who I am, so I don't get the verification mark. But this is me. I should be the only stuff I wrote there. If there is one there, let me know because it means I'm getting popular. Right now, I'm a nobody. Okay, and then lastly, follow me on Rumble, rumble.com/C/ Stephan Rudd. Now my videos now are now visual. So if you're on, if you're watching things on rumble.com, you will see actual, images and stuff and videos as I talk. So it's not just audio anymore playing with me talking in the background and then nothing happened on the screen. That's changed now. So we now have audio and visual. So you can listen to it, on the podcast. I am on podcasts. For those of you on the videos, I am on podcasts. I'm on Apple, Google, Stitcher, all the top ones. Spotify should have me on there by now. And I think I'm on TuneIn as well. Okay. So you can catch me on any of the top apps. If not, then, you can catch me here on YouTube or rather on Rumble. I might create an account too on YouTube as well, just to get some of that, that traffic before I get banned. We'll see. Okay. So we're sitting here and we're now dealing with, some issues that are going on in this country that have come front and center because we have this rogue president in office. Now, I don't believe he's really the president. I don't believe that he's really running the country. I don't believe that he's really in charge. I think we're seeing, a movie. Although I do believe that he has the optics on this. Joe Biden does. He is the one that is writing executive orders. Okay. Or someone, maybe Harris is. He is the one meeting world leaders. Or a double, maybe. Who knows? Even though Joe Biden himself is also a double. That's sidebar. But at the same time, I believe that there's something else going on here. I believe Trump is really in control here. I believe Trump is really the president still. He's still flying on Air Force One. He's still flying his cargo, his motorcade on C-17s, military cargo planes. he still has no 250 Marine recon active duty, not just retired, active duty Marine recon wherever he travels for security. I mean, you don't see that happening, if at all, very often with former presidents. They give them, you know, cops or off duty or retired, you know, military. They don't give them, active duty Marines. Because the Marines serve who? The POTUS. The military serves who? The POTUS. You don't get to fly around Air Force One. You don't get to fly around on C-17s. If you're the former president, you are not the commander in chief anymore. Trump is still flying around on military aircrafts being flown by Air Force pilots. Active duty. I'm just saying. So, but for the sake of our argument here, Joe Biden is in the office. He's running this country in the ground. We're becoming more and more communistic by the day. Now, Trump has some things that he said at CPAC that I haven't quite dealt with yet. And I was going to talk about this at some point in time, but I wanted to see who else would bring this up. I didn't want to step on Dave from X22's toes, even though his following is way bigger than mine. I mean, I'm just an ant in his world. I want to see what Amy No LT would say. And by the way, follow these guys on Rumble because they're great patriots. LT from And We Know, Dave from X22 Report. Okay, he's not on. Neither one of these guys are on Facebook, YouTube anymore. They're only on Rumble and I think BitChute and some other channels. But they're not on Google's platform anymore. But I wanted to see if they would cover this here because I don't want to be redundant and give you guys the same thing that you're probably hearing already somewhere else. And I haven't heard anyone bring this up yet. So I have to talk about it. So this is why I waited a few days to see what they would talk about. But Trump had a little spill. It was an hour and a half CPAC speech. But he had a spill in this speech that I thought was pretty interesting. And I took a part of the speech here. I took maybe a three minute sample from the speech because I wanted to focus on one thing. And that's the other things they said in the speech. I mean, this speech is loaded with stuff that I couldn't even get to one podcast. But I want to discuss one thing here because people out there are wondering, why hasn't Trump moved? Why has the military moved yet? What's going on here? What are they waiting for? Do they care about freedom? Do they care about, you know, the country? Do they care about the lives being hurt? Well, the first thing I'm going to say is the military won't start a civil war. They will end one, but they won't start one. Are you hearing me? They're not going to come in there and instigate something to bring order unless they cross some red lines. If the deep state crosses some red lines, this is what the Q posts were discussing, where it said red one and red two and so on, and it had different red lines that they couldn't cross over. And one of those red lines is when it happens, when they black the comms out, the internet stuff out, that's a red line for them. They're going to, you know, use the, they're not going to use force. They're going to, all right, you're going to black out the comms. We're going to override that with the satellite. Use the Space Force satellites to override the comms. And get that way they can begin to broadcast what's going on to the world, bypassing their system. But Trump here, he's beginning to expose things here. And he had a spill that no one, I know of, caught it. And I'm going to play a little bit here and I'm going to talk, you know, I'm going to pause it in between and just kind of go through it. I want you to catch what he's saying here. It's really important here.
Could have been somebody. Steel source told the FBI the info was totally unserious, and they did not inform the court of any of this, and they kept on spying on the Trump campaign. In addition, the press is part of this crooked operation. You know that.
Let's stop here for a minute. Trump is getting ready to talk about some things that we already know. And if you just hear it, you're like, oh, he said that before the last time. But if you listen carefully to what he is getting ready to do, Trump is getting, I want you to hear, I'm gonna set up for you, because I want you to hear what he's getting ready to do. I want you to, you know, listen to it, to this next piece, with the intent of understanding what his purpose is. Trump is laying out, in a minute, he's laying out the future charges of RICO crimes, organized crime. He's beginning to talk, he's beginning to define what organized crime looks like and who is involved, how it works. And there's a reason for that, and we'll get there in a minute.
Election rules were changed. Big tech censored the opposition. Political violence was legitimized and encouraged by the left. And then Trump, the president of the United States, was banned from the social media, as we call it, by sleazebags. I was banned by sleazebags. I was banned by bad people.
By the way, when he said I was banned by bad people, by sleazebags, what he's implying here, and he kind of alluded to it later on in the speech, but I didn't catch that part because it was too much to actually capture. He's alluding to the fact that they have some stuff that the deep state. All right, Mark Zuckerberg and Jack Dorsey are both implicated in some crimes here. Big crime. I don't mean just, you know, banning people for no reason. We're talking about child trafficking, sex trafficking, you know, things of that nature. They are impaled by that. So he says he got the sleazeballs. They're all sleazeballs. They're you know, whatever he's saying. He's letting you know that these people that run these big tech companies, they are in huge trouble. And that they're probably being blackmailed by the people who run the government. Because what happens if you don't play along with the rules? How does government set up a deep state? Or how does whoever is in the government, the people behind the scenes of the government, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Morgans and those types, how do they create compliance, blackmail? They set you up. And then they blackmail you. Then they hold over your head and say, if you don't do what we say, this comes out and you're ruined. He's laying out the foundation of who they are. And he's alluding to the fact that both Mark Zuckerberg, Jack Dorsey, and the CEO of Google, I can't say his name, they all have crimes. That they're not that they're blackmailed on per se, but they literally are involved knowingly with high crimes and misdemeanors. And he has the proof. He's not saying it because he's trying to be, he's bluffing. He has the proof. He's seen the evidence, y'all. He was the president of the United States. Do you really believe he didn't see the evidence? He knows.
Far worse. I don't say I'm perfect, but they're far worse than I am, I will tell you. They are far worse. In other words, the entire system was rigged against the American people and rigged against a fair, decent, and honest election. For decades, the conservative movement acted as if all that mattered were policy fights in Washington, or that all it would take to prevail was winning a small handful of Supreme Court cases. And we're disappointed in the Supreme Court.
Before he goes here, he says that the politicians, They've acted. It's a key word here. He's not wasting words here. They've acted as if it was all politics. It was all about making a decision here on a vote here or vote there and changing stuff. But he calls it an act. because because early on in the speech he called the Republicans in the House, he called them worse than Democrats. Why? Because they vote like Democrats, they think like Democrats, but they come, you know, wearing sheep's clothing to deceive Republicans. He called them worse. So he calls all of this an act. It's a political act to get you to fall asleep so that they can do whatever they want to do. Now, watch what he says here about the Supreme Court. He's about to get some stuff here that's really deep here.
Court, I'm disappointed. But the battle is so much bigger and so much broader than any of that. The radical left has been methodically taking over every job.
Sorry, that part hasn't come yet. He's still laying out the foundations of who is involved with this this organized crime.
Giant centralized institution in American life. The school systems, you see that. The universities, the bar associations. What happened to Rudy? Hollywood. Journalism, the big banks, big tech.
Stop right there. You heard him list out all of the groups and companies and whatever, what have you, that are involved with the organized crime syndicate. This is what he's doing, y'all. He's laying out the foundation. Now, how does Trump know how to do this? His lawyer is Rudy freaking Giuliani. His lawyer is legendary. His lawyer took down the mafia in New York. He was the reason why the mafia couldn't even function in the same way anymore, because that's a long story too. But Rudy, he realized that you can't get these guys one by one because they're so good at hiding their crimes. They have alibis. They have all these, you know, cover stories, right? He says, but if you can prove, and of course they have all these different companies that are not associated with the same people that are doing the same thing. So he said, look, if you can establish that this company is working with that company and this company is working with that company, then you can, you know, prove that there is a syndicate of companies that are not owned by the same people, but they are all on the same agenda. And then you have to bring them under, you have to prove that they were all under one organized group. And that's when Rudy discovered the idea and the reality of the commission, where it involved the top, you know, mob bosses that were in New York, the top five, I think it was, in New York. And those five or so mob bosses in New York, they were the ones who were running all of the, were giving the orders to all the companies down below them. So now this company is doing something, but they're all of them are working together for the same goal. They clean the money up. They commit the crimes. They sell the drugs, whatever it is. Then they run the money through their corporations to clean it up a little bit. And that's how. And this is how they have been doing it. And Rudy figures part out, and decided, you know what? If we can prove that there is a group of people made from the mob bosses, the mob families, working together, right, to establish one big syndicate of crime, then we can take down the entire mafia, all the families at one time. That's exactly what happened, y'all. That's exactly what, and nobody thought of this. This is Trump's lawyer. Are you hearing me? The great Rudy Giuliani, this is Trump's lawyer. So Trump understands the mafia. He understands organized crime. He understands RICO charges of RICO, you know, activity. So what's he doing right now? He's establishing that all of these groups are being controlled by one group of people at the top. What did he say? He said the media, public schools. He named, the Hollywood and different other places, right? And then he threw in one word. He says the central bankers. The bankers, he said, but he didn't say central, but he said the bankers, but that's the same thing. He threw in the bankers. Now, when have you ever heard Trump throw in the bankers, before? What is he doing here? What Trump is doing here, he just outlined only a few of the syndicates in the crime family, which is the public school systems, all these, you know, unions out there. You know, not saying that, you know, the union presidents, you know, stuff. I have friends that are in the union. Some of them are presidents in the union. So I'm not saying that they're evil, but I'm saying the people at the top of the union, they typically are corrupted. Okay, so they've been in public schools in general, same thing. You may have good teachers, but you know, in many places, but some of them are trash, by the way. A lot of them are trash. But you may have good teachers, yet you're going to have, you know, the top people within this same group, whatever, that's corrupted by the government or the crime syndicate, right? So it didn't, you know, whoever's at the top changes the flow all the way down. Just like in the Department of Homeland Security, the department workers aren't corrupted. They want to build the wall, but you have the department head that was appointed by Biden for the DHS. That guy is a total loon ball. Okay. He don't even belong, you know, in America. Get out of America. Just go somewhere else. That guy is corrupted. And that guy says, stop building the wall. And if the employees don't want to lose their jobs, they're going to follow suit. Because at the end of the day, the employees want to make a living. They do not want to get fired. So it isn't the entire DHS. It isn't the entire FBI. It isn't the entire, you know, anyone in DOJ. Most of the people are just employees following orders. However, the top has been corrupted. So the institution became corrupted because now we have people following orders through blackmail. Oh, not really blackmail, but I guess it's kind of blackmail. You get fired for not following orders. They're following orders through blackmail, therefore corrupting the institution. Trump is beginning to outline these things. And then he says at the end, the bankers, because he understands that just like Rudy Giuliani figured out that there was a commission that made up of the top bosses, five families in New York that control everything in New York. Trump realized that the bankers are controlling everything in the country and probably the world.
And even the Supreme Court, where we're getting some unexpected rulings because the nine justices do not want to be packed. And the Democrats are in a position to pack the court, and they don't want to be packed. So they don't want to look at the election. They said, we don't want to see it. We had, led by that gentleman right there from the great state of Texas, we had almost 20 states.
He's pointing at the DA for Texas. I forget his name offhand, who had that lawsuit back in December-ish or January-ish. Where they wanted to, well, it was December, I think it was, where they had 20 states that tried to sue in the Supreme Court, right? Stating that, you know, that they were disenfranchised because of the election theft in the state of Pennsylvania, right? So they were suing, they were all suing PA. And actually PA, the Senate in PA, or rather the state legislatures in PA, they wanted to sue as well, but they can't sue themselves, so they didn't sue. So it would have been 21 states involved that. Now, this is what he's alluding to. So he's saying that they wanted to stop it before. 21 states wanted to stop this before. Well, actually, it was 22 because you got Texas and 20 states. So it was 22 states that wanted to stop it. And right here, he's about to get into the Supreme Court spill that I want you guys to hear.
I thought we had a case where the standing was so good. You know, I wanted to do it personally, but they said, sir, you're the president. You have no standing. I said, what kind of a system? Wait a minute. I'm the president. They said, the thing that has the standing are states. And if you could get one or two or three, they got almost 20.
Okay. I got to pause it here because this is brilliant. This is the most brilliant. People miss this strategy, y'all. Trump just told you, okay, here is the crime syndicate. Here's what it looks like. Here are all the players involved with this crime syndicate, right? And then he even mentioned the Supreme Court as being a part of that crime syndicate, right? Now, that's twofold now, because that also means that he's outlining who he's coming after with that 2018 EO. Mm-hmm. Big tech, the public school systems, the SCOTUS, the courts, the banker, all of them. He's coming after all of them to confiscate them, to shut them down. Well, he'll shut down people. You can't really kill the companies because you'll lose jobs and you'll lose your economy. But you can shut down the people. Now the bankers, you can shut down. You can shut down bankers. More on this later. But he said now the Supreme Court, right? They wouldn't take the case even though he had plenty of standing. He was the president, so he it wasn't even his lawsuit, y'all. It was Texas lawsuit, suing another state. Now, I read the case files on that. They never filed a court case, y'all. They never requested a hearing, rather. It was like 20-something times, you know, that I've read that they filed a motion for leave to file a bill of complaint, which means that they're asking for more time to file a court case. They never asked for a trial yet or hearing. The entire time, you won't see one time during that lawsuit with Texas and PA where they asked the courts for an actual hearing. This is important. Now, had they said, had they filed a motion to file a bill complaint or something like that, I'm probably saying, I'm missing a few words here. The word leave means to ask for a favor. Can you please do me a favor? I need a favor here. It's not a part of, but when you ask the court for a hearing, you're asking the court to do your job. Do your job. You have a job to hear these cases. Do your job. This is by law. But when you say a motion for leave, you're saying this isn't lawful per se. You're not required to, but if you can do me a favor, please. So they kept asking for more time. They never asked for a court case. This is important because the courts never heard the case and they finally threw it out. Well, listen to Trump. Watch how Trump begins to explain this to them. This is very important. Watch how he explains to them. He tells them that they didn't want to hear the case, but then something says, you know, afterwards that makes it more awesome. Watch this.
And they were really strong about it. And you know what? The justices never looked at the case. They didn't look. And many of the judges didn't look at the case, but we do have cases going on right now where I think you have Patriot judges, and we'll see. We're going to see if that happens. But if the justices got their way, they won't be packed. In other words, what's happened is vicious things. Look at the Schumer statement that he said when he was on the court steps. So he's no longer protected because he's not. You know, in Congress, if you're a guy like Adam Schiff, you can lie and lie and lie. You can't do anything. You have immunity. But once you step out of that building, Schumer said horrible things. He said a mafia-like statement to...
Pause there for a minute. He said a mafia-like statement. Schumer threatened the Supreme Court, okay, justices. And what he's saying is he's comparing them to mafia style because he's letting people know it's organized crime.
The judges, nothing happens. Nothing happens. But they are playing the ref, you know, playing the ref. Even better than the great Bobby Knight in his prime. I love Bobby Knight. He came out from great state of Indiana.
Bobby Knight is a great coach, by the way. Great coach was. But he's saying, and this is where he gets into the spill. It's a short little spill, but he said it quickly and moved away. He said they're playing the refs, which means that, you know, they're not really playing basketball anymore. you know, like to they're not playing to create a better play on the next on the next drive. They're trying to get the refs to help them out a little bit. Now watch this.
He came out. He endorsed me. It was over in Indiana. But Bobby Knight used to scream at the refs and they'd say, why are you doing that? You're never going to get the call changed. No, no, I'm not worried about this call. But the next call they'll be thinking about. That's what's happening with our Supreme Court. That's what's happened. They don't want to.
Did you catch that? Don't worry. I'm here. I'm here. He said they're playing the refs. So the reference here is the referees have been played, you know, or being they're not playing basketball anymore. They're playing the refs. They want the refs to be on their side to give them help. Say, hey, can you give us a call here? Can you give us, whatever? And Trump's saying, well, if you yell at the referees, they're not going to give you the call. They're going to basically, not give you that call at all. So if someone fouls your player and they don't call a foul and you're yelling at the ref, he's not going to give you that call anymore because you're yelling at him. But if you stay on the ref long enough, eventually he'll give you a call at the right time at a key part of the game to help you win the game. See, I used to coach AAU basketball. And this is a strategy that we use. Well, I wasn't the head coach, but I was the bench coach, and my brother was the head coach, and we had a strategy that we would get the refs upset, almost get thrown out the game, yell at the referees, and what are you doing? What are you doing? He fouled her. She fouled her. We coach girls. What are you doing? And we will go off on the refs. And finally the refs, will get mad and say, hey, look, Coach Rudd, you got one more time and then you're gone. And my brother would tell me, he would say, look, if I'm gone, just run these plays. Okay. And he would, and there were games where he would purposely get almost thrown out the game, or at least, told by the coach, by the referee, sit down, don't give again. So that now. But he spent the entire first three quarters showing the refs where the problem was. So now when he's sitting down, he's quiet. The referee sees him now, and he was like, I do see that problem now. I do see this, guy doing the same thing every time. And now he's, my brother was getting calls. He was getting the calls that he was looking for the first three quarters at a key time where we can now take the lead and win the game. He's saying that the referees, the SCOTUS is there. This was happening right now with the SCOTUS. They didn't take the first jobs, the first court cases, because they're setting up for something else later on. If you rule, early on, then you can't rule on the same thing later on, because, or you could, but you open up the opportunity to appeal. So what if they had ruled on the case way back in January? Oh yeah, Trump won. Let's go ahead and do this thing. What happens then? Well, then Biden can come back with an appeal and try to overturn it later. And by the time they can fabricate evidence, they can try to destroy evidence, whatever it is, because when you have open court cases that extend beyond the date that you need to be, that you're in office. So basically he was in office on January 20th, right? The court cases were still open. What happened in January in Georgia? Well, in Georgia, the judge ordered the ballots to be sealed because the case was still ongoing. But if you had the Supreme Court rule on it before that, that doesn't happen. The case is dead. It's over. And now there is no court order to protect the ballots. In a sense, you're supposed to do it anyway, but they control everything, so they can do this stuff. And now you have the ballots being destroyed, and then they can come back later on and say, we found XYZ. But when you have open court cases going on, a lot of the evidence is being sealed. A lot of this stuff is being sealed. And if you break the seal right of the order, then you actually are going to be committing a felony. So this forced the deep state to actually leave the evidence, some of it, a lot of it, most of it, still intact. Or if they tried to change the evidence, like in Georgia, the state DA, whatever, DA or whoever he is, forget his name now, he actually broke the court order by unsealing the ballots. And then that's a crime now. So he committed a crime to prove that a crime didn't exist. See how that works out? So we got them both ways. Now we have all this, you know, proof that we have election fraud. I mean, all that's going on. Arizona is basically done. All they want now are the machines, or rather the routers. And we have one going on now in PA, or get ready to start PA. And we have one, you know, get ready to start in Georgia. And so we now have enough proof now. We've had enough time to research stuff, investigate stuff. We have hard evidence. We had it before, but I'm just saying we have more now. We have a lot more. And we have proof also of the deep state trying to destroy evidence, even tampering with it. This all proves, you know, criminality. So now when the judges take this case, you're going to try to appeal. It's slam dunk. It's over for you. Are you hearing me? But not only just over, it's also over. I mean, it's also going to be better to do it now than before, because if it did it back then, there would have been massive riots. People would still sleep. Yeah, we're awake. We're not morons. You and I are awake. But the majority of the people in the country were not awake. And so they would have had issues trying to stop them from, you know, burning down cities and stuff. But now, I'm telling you, I can't tell you how many Democrats who hated Trump are coming up to me and telling me that they are now voting for him in next election. They had no idea he gonna be in this election, but they're already saying next election they vote for him. Hardcore Democrats hated Trump. People who had a lot to say about Trump in a negative way are now speaking somewhat positive about Trump. This was all by design. He had to wake people up to minimize the amount of civil unrest that's out there. So everything here, y'all, is happening on schedule. It's happening according to the plan. This is a military operation. The Supreme Court, I believe, now he used this, you know, in a way to make it look like he's not a part of it, or like he's being disenfranchised by the Supreme Court. But the Supreme Court is largely acting, and he's trying to tell you that. He's telling you that they're playing for the next one. What he's really saying is, in so many words, they have orders to not take any cases until the right time. And now he's telling you, when this case comes to the Supreme Court, they're going to take it. They're going to rule, and it's over. They were playing the referees. They were waiting until we had enough proof. They were being blackmailed by the deep state. They were going to be probably assassinated. They were going to be impeached or what have you. And these guys didn't want their houses burning down. So, you know, what are you going to do? We saw how Brett Kavanaugh went through a whole lot of crap just to become a Supreme Court justice. What would they do if Brett Kavanaugh and the rest of them decided to, you know, at the height of all of the activity after January 6th, when most people believed that it was really people on our side doing crazy stuff, and it was people on our side who believed this stuff, and now we're beginning to realize that they were all actors. Did Ashley Babbitt really die? Who shot her? What guy shot her? Oh, it was Mike Pence, you know, the person who's acting. Who shot her in the acting? Oh, it was Mike Pence's a security guard, detail. Oh, okay. And who controls him now? Oh, the Congress? Oh, Pelosi. And where is she at, y'all? Where's Schiff at? Where's Pelosi? Where's Schumer? Where are they? Where's Obama? Hillary? Where is she at? Where are these people, y'all? Oh, I just saw them on TV. Did you? Are you sure? Because they've been real quiet. And they have made some appearances. But, you know, if you ever want to be amazed and freaked out, go to YouTube and type in the keywords deep fake. Deep fake. And you'll see. They can do anything they want to do to make you think that someone is really alive or really in, or really free, not in jail. They have videos of Obama speaking and it's all CGI. You can't tell. All CGI. Where are these people? Where is Jay-Z and Beyonce? Where are they? Does anyone know what happened to most of Hollywood celebrities? Where are they at? These people are taking a hit big time. That's why Trump mentioned Hollywood, the public school system. That's why he mentioned the SCOTUS and so he mentioned all these industries and groups and companies and whatever, because he's letting you know. Remember early on in his speech where he says Hillary was mad because they didn't do it for her? They didn't cheat for her the same way? And they all chanted, lock her up, lock her up, lock her up. And Trump said, there's more than that. What did he mean by that? He was like, please. Because he led by saying, where is she? She's gone away. Right? And then, of course, when he said, lock her up, he said, there's more than that. He's saying there's more people, in my opinion, that are gone away. Meaning probably a Gitmo or probably already had the tribunals and are taken out of this earth. And now we're seeing body doubles and CGI. I know it sounds crazy, but get over it. You'll be fine. We're at a crossroads here. And you're going to either cross over now and understand what we understand, or you're going to have a hard time because you're going to be shocked when it all comes out later on. But at some point in time, you're going to understand that the stuff that I'm saying to you has been accurate for a long time. I'm not right on everything. I'm wrong sometimes. I'm wrong a lot about things. That's why I don't do any date predictions anymore. I don't tell you what I think will happen. When will this happen? I don't know. When would they arrest people? I don't know. Who knows? It's a military operation. The soldiers don't even know. The soldiers are on need-to-know basis. What do you think we are? Are we soldiers? We're not even on the level. So if the soldiers are on need-to-know basis, then what are we on? Really don't need to know. Really need to know basis. So who can tell you this? No one can. So we're almost there, I believe. We're close because we're now seeing Trump go on the offensive. And I understand that he has a court case coming up here with big tech, but it may not even go to court. They may settle or it may get thrown out. Trump may be using this here to establish to exhaust every legal option possible before moving to nuclear options. Who knows? But we're going to see things change soon. And when it does, it's going to be epic, and there are going to be problems going on for the deep state that they haven't seen ever. Mass takedowns, arrests, executions. These people will pay for their crimes against humanity. All right. So just be blessed and keep praying and keep believing. And I'll see you on the next broadcast.